I'm going to start in the second chapter of Ephesians. We'll be jumping around all over the place, okay? Ephesians chapter 2. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. One of the great chapters in Scripture. Here it says that we all, you all, and me all, we were all destined for hell. And this is heaven. So you guys, you would have figured that out. And here we are in our natural being. And this is the way our life is going. But two words jump out at you.
Amen.
But God had to intercede, because there was no way that we could change our circumstances. We were headed for hell. We'd be in hell. But for God. God changed us. God had to intercede, as he does in many times throughout history. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of church people, who think that God is sitting there, looking down, and just resting. And in the background is Doris Day singing, Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. That's not the way it is. God has his eyes. Doesn't say he has his eyes on us. He has his eyes on what's going on in the world. And he has a plan. And he's going to fulfill it. So, God had to come and turn this whole thing around by his Spirit. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself. It's a gift from God. Again, as I say, there was nothing you and I could have done. But God did it. And so, we're working out our salvation now on earth. And yet, theologically, again, Ephesians and Romans, two great theological books. God says that theologically, we're already there. Right? We are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, when God, and it's not by our works, it's not by the law, we are justified by
faith.
Right? That by faith in Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. And hence, when God looks at us, he doesn't see us. Right? What does he see?
Christ.
He sees us covered by Christ. Right? Romans chapter 4 says that that righteousness was imputed to us. It's not our righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Christ that's imputed to us, and we're covered with His righteousness. Hence, we are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, what I want to look at is a couple more things before we leave this chapter. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us. I want to talk a little bit about God's mercy. If you look in the concordance, which I did, God talks more about the attributes of God. The one that's talked about the most is His mercy. As a matter of fact, it's like over 40 times He talks about His mercy endures forever. All those verses throughout Scripture, His mercy endures forever. You know? He had to say it so many times because He wants us to know that His mercy is forever. It's David said that His mercy never fails, never ends. Mercy never ends. So it's, and the also about mercy, want to share a few verses, because they mean a lot to me. They're my favorite verses in Scripture. When you know, right? Mercy. We know that His mercy is new every morning. Right? Every morning He bestows more mercy upon us. So it must be that we need it every day. Right? We are a needy people, and we are in need of His mercy every day.
Amen.
My two favorite verses in Scripture are Psalms 23. Surely, without a doubt, surely mercy, goodness, His goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
That's my favorite Old Testament verse. And let me give you a New Testament verse and then I'll come back. The New Testament verse that is my favorite is mercy triumphs over judgment. Think about that. That is a great verse. In other words, God has a time of judgment for the world, for people outside, unredeemed people, and some judgment upon us too. God moves in judgment, but His mercy is above His judgment. And even when judgment comes, it's through His mercy. He's a merciful God. So, what's that?
Because He says all His ways are judgment. He says all His ways are judgment.
All His ways are judgment and true. Yes. Yes. But that judgment is tempered by His mercy.
Yes.
Right? Yep. So the point I want to make here is, aside, if any of you listening, if you tend to be legalistic or judgmental, then you're really on the wrong side. You know? Because you're not esteeming the mercy of God and being merciful to people. So you really, you know, you really need to think about that and not get legalistic. Okay? Not legalistic, but merciful. Okay? Let me go back to the Old Testament verse where surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. David said that. And you know who else said that? I said it. I made that kind of my mantra. It's a deal I made with God, so to speak. I mean, that sounds funny, but I always thought, Lord, you know, I'll do what I've got to do, you know, to serve You and glorify You, and I'm expecting and claiming that verse, that throughout my life, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And you know what? You know, yeah, I've had some problems like we all do, you know, some times of tribulation, but in truth and essence, that worked out good. You know, His goodness and mercy was always, I always felt it was with me, and He would take care of me. But there comes a time when God deals with us in a more stringent way. You know, there's a commercial on TV that's running. You guys may have not seen it because you don't watch TV as much as I do. And it's where a fellow is saying, "Oh, I've only had two drinks. I'm okay." You know, and then and the essence of it is, when okay is not okay. Then there's another one that's really funny. A guy is being prepped in the room before going into surgery, and he says to the nurse that's prepping him, he says, "Is this doctor, is he a good doctor?" And she says, "He's okay." And then the doctor, perchance, goes going by the room, looks, sticks his head in, and he says to somebody down the hall, he says, "Hey, I've been given my license back to operate." Oh. You know? And he says to the patient, "Are you nervous?" And the patient says, "Yes." And he says, "Well, I'm nervous too." Oh, you know, God. You never know what's going to happen in there. He says, "I'll see you in there." So again, it's when okay is not okay. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, I thought in my Christian life, my Christian walk, that I was okay. I was preaching a gospel. I was, handing out tracts. I was talking. You know, I was doing everything that I should be doing, supposedly. But there comes a time when God says, "Okay is not okay." In other words, you know, depending upon what God has called you in His, you know, to be in His kingdom, when He's called you out for a special purpose, you know, okay is not okay. You know, I think about what's required of us. Right? In Micah, it says, "Oh man, what is required of you? Right? To do justly, love mercy, to walk humbly before the Lord." And for the, you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back because it sounds kind of prideful. But I thought I was okay. You know, I love mercy for sure. You know, walk humbly. I try to give God the glory for everything. You know, almost 75 years old, never spent a day of my life in the hospital. But I always said, "That's not me. That's the Lord. Goodness and mercy following me." You know? So I always try to give Him credit. Do justly? Well, I don't know. Maybe 80 or 90%. But not totally. So okay with God is not okay. And He's given me 40 years as being a Christian. 40. All right? Good number. So, and I thought about it, I think, you know, yeah, it's been about 40 years that I was Christian. And things are going on just as they always have. You know? And there comes a time, when I said, His mercy endures forever, never runs out. Well, that's true. But His long suffering does. You know, there comes a time when God decides to deal with us and get things right. You know, one of my life's adage to live by is, when nothing changes, nothing changes. And there came a time when God says, you know, there's got to be changes in our life. You know, And there's got to be changes in each of your life too. Okay is not always okay. God's expecting more if we're coming into a place where we're called to be sons. We got to get it right. So, in 1 Peter 4:12, where are you, Peter? Or John? 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Think it not strange, beloved, you church people. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which has come to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Remember, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Lord, this isn't supposed to happen to me. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. For if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and God and of God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." See, the world would think when these things happen to you, you know, that that's evil. They'll speak evil of it. But not so. This is so he is glorified. See? All these fiery trials. And they're there for a purpose. Like James says, count it all joy when tribulation comes upon you. There's a purpose to it. God is changing us. Right? Nothing changes. Right? And if God's changing us, he's doing it for our good. Right? Jeremiah said, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good, not for evil. To bring you to an expected end." See? God's got an expected end for all of us. Right? And he uses things in our life, trials, tribulation mainly, to bring about changes in our life. Right? Now, in Matthew, no, let's not talk. I'm just going to save time. Matthew 16, we all know this. Jesus said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And Peter spoke up like he always does. You know, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, which always kind of amused me. Some say one of the other prophets. And then the question became, the real question, who do you say that I am? And that's the question that he's giving to his disciples, to his people. And that's a question for each of us. Who do we say that Jesus Christ is? You know, many of the church people say that he's my Savior. And he is. But if that's your answer, that's not right. You know, he is our Lord and Savior. He is the one that controls our life. He is a sovereign God who's in control of everything. He is all and all in our life. Say, but each of us have to answer, who is he in our life? And Peter had a good response. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." See, it was revelation from God, from the Spirit of God, not from man. Man could never do that. But God speaks that through us. And upon this pronouncement, not upon Peter, but upon what he said, "I will build my church." And then what did he say?
"Gates of hell."
The gates of hell will not prevail. A lot of times we skip over that, you know? So Jesus Christ, from then on, is building his church. And he's been building his church down through the centuries. And he's building his church right now. One brick, if I may say that. One person at a time. He's building his church. And the gates of hell, what?
One living stone at a time.
That's right. I said one brick. That wasn't a good... One living stone at a time. And the gates of hell. Now think about the gates of hell. The gates of hell are not coming after us. See? The gates of hell, like our president says, you know, it's a barrier. And it works. Usually. But God saying... They're not going to prevail. Those gates are not going to prevail against those that are called of God. In other words, too long we've been on the defense, you know, fighting off the enemy. God's saying that a time is coming, and now is, when we are to take and destroy Satan's kingdom. It cannot prevail against those who are called of God and who are anointed to do the work, to destroy the works of the enemy. Now, let's go to John. So I was thinking to myself as I was receiving this about some place in Scripture. It talks about God's got another army. You know, he's got another church, so to speak. And I know it's in there someplace. And I couldn't remember where it was. But I asked another sister who's like a walking concordance. You ask her anything and she knows right where it is. It's in John 10. I was thinking incorrectly about a church. But in John 10, we all know about that's the sheep chapter, right? And it's in one of the later parts. You guys probably can find it.
Other sheep have eyes?
Yes. Yes. Where is that?
John 10.
It's in John 10 towards the end.
16.
Okay, it isn't towards the end. As my Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, how many people think that he's talking about the Gentile? He's talking here to the Hebrews, and he's talking about the Gentiles church, or the Gentile fold, right?
Yeah.
And that's true, right? I don't disagree with that. But the thought comes to me by the Spirit that he's talking about more than that.
Yep.
He's talking about there's another fold. In fact, there may be many other folds. Right? Doesn't he say that I own the cattle on a thousand hills? So there's a bigger implication here that there's another fold that God is looking at. I mean, he sees them all. But again, now we get into this idea of exclusivity, and you have to be careful that people don't misinterpret this. But God has different folds for different purposes. Right? Does that not make sense? That he anoints us, certain fold for this purpose, another fold for another purpose. So, the fold that I want to look at is in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, I'm going to start in verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah. Jephthah. Oh, how do you say that?
Jephthah.
What?
Jephthah.
I don't know. How about it? We know what you're saying. Go ahead.
Okay. Of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight of the enemies, of the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So, what I'm talking about is, throughout the ages, and even now, there is a fold, a church, if you will, of the better resurrection. Those that are called. See, time fails me to tell you about John Hess, about Bonhoeffer, Wahlberg. Time fails. All the books, all the people in what Mark has been talking about in Fox's Book of Martyrs that have signed on to the Church of the Better Resurrection, right? Not accepting deliverance. See, all of these people could have bowed down to the oppressors and been delivered, but that wasn't their calling. That wasn't what they desired. And hence, God is calling even now a people, the end times, to become part of this better resurrection. I talk about different folds in the church. And it's throughout Scripture, you can see that. Jesus himself separated, made separations in the church. Right? There was 500. There was, 120. There were 12. There were 3. Right? Did you ever wonder why?
70.
Yeah. All different numbers. You ever wonder why Jesus had the 12? But he shared certain things with 3. Right? That doesn't seem fair to the other 9. Right? He's leaving them out. Right? The transfiguration. Only the 3 saw it. And then there was 1. Right? That was even closer to him. You know, you look at Joseph. The life of Joseph. You know, there was a lot, he had a lot of brothers. But they were passed over. Joseph was chosen among all of them. And look at what Joseph had to go through in his life. A better resurrection. David, there was a lot, he had a lot of brothers. And God looked at every one of them. And he chose David. Why David? And look at what David had to go through in his life. A better resurrection. So God chooses certain people. Of course, it's in essence, it's always the heart. God looks at the heart. But there seems to be, you know, that God makes choices and divides. Okay, now, I won't do that because I get away from this. But you know, in Judges chapter 7, the great dividing there, right? Gideon's army starts off with 32 brethren, we'll call them. 32,000. And the first trial that he takes them to is what? That we're going to separate those who are fearful and afraid. And out of 32,000, 22,000 don't fail the test. As we were singing that song today, in the day of my power, my people will be willing. They will not be afraid. See, the 22,000 were afraid. Right? They didn't have the courage. But in the day of his power, and that's not a literal day. Right? Do you ever think about that? That's a time we're coming to where, you know, God's days are varying time. And the day of his power is coming to the end times, when God is going to choose a people who will not be fearful and afraid. Okay? So you have to have a people that are courageous to start with. The second qualification was about going to the water and seeing who all is, how they're going to drink. Are they going to bow their head down and drink like a dog? Or are they going to take the water up in their hand and drink the water that way? And of course, we know there were only 300 that took the water up in their hands that were qualified. And that was because they never put their head down and lost sight of what was in front of them. So, the second qualification, you have to be courageous and not afraid, but you also have to be mindful, vigilant, watchful. God has called us to be a people watching the signs of the times and, you know, what's happening in our world, in the church, in our own lives. We have to be vigilant and mindful. It is so important. That second trial is so important because so many people, many church people, many Christians are not watching what's going on today. You know? They pray. You know, we all pray. But the Word says, Jesus said, pray and watch. Okay? So along with our prayers, we have to watch what's going on. You know, Scripture says that we are to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. I get the last part of that. That's easy. But why do you say we're to be wise as serpents? You know, a lot of people think, well, serpents very wise. No, it isn't that at all. Years ago I read a book about all God's creatures. And come to find out from that the serpent is the only creature that we know of that never closes its eyes. Even while it's asleep, his eyes see everything that's going on around him. Wise as serpents. In other words, God is calling us to be watchful of everything that's going on in our life. So, I watch what's going on in the world, and I make assessments. I put it before the Lord. The Lord speaks to us, and there are some things out there that's happening right now that are very troubling. Right? So I've listed a few of these things that. You know, the whole world is in debt, not just our country. We have a debt that can never be repaid. It's more than $21 trillion. Europe, the nations of Europe, are in debt. As a matter of fact, there's probably every country in the world that's in debt. Now think about this. Sooner or later, the debt has to be paid. And this is going to cause a worldwide depression. See, these are things that could affect us, and this is why I watch them. and make judgments about it. You've got creeping socialism today, which is really creeping Marxism. And it's becoming quite apparent that our country is headed for socialism / communism. Back in the 30s, I think it was, that the prophet, what's the prophet that starts with a B? Branham. The prophet Branham said that you have three isms, fascism, Nazism, and communism. He says two of those will not last, but he says communism will. And so he's right on. And communism is propagating throughout our nation. It's disguised as socialism, but that's where we're going. And, you know, we have to be mindful of that, and we have to come against it. We have infanticide that's becoming prevalent in the States. You know, the States are propagating this, and one by one, they're promoting it. And again, when states or people rebel against, the law, the federal law, then you have anarchy. And this is what's happening with states that are just deciding to make their own laws and follow their own laws. The rule of law then is diminished, and this anarchy leads to mob violence. You know, this, you ever hear of mob riots? Once things get going, depression, people can't get what they want. You know, you're going to have mob rule and mob riots breaking into the streets like we seen a year or so ago. This is coming. EMP attacks. You know, nobody's talking about that anymore. But it's out there. You know, EMP. Electromagnetic pulse.
Oh, okay.
Where they knock, one missile knocks out our power grid.
Wow.
And we're powerless. You know? I mean, these things could happen at any time.
Well, the sun could do that too.
The sun could, yes, that's right. Meteors. Yeah. I know. But, like you say, God's in control of all things. Alright? Then you have AI, which is very dangerous, that people don't realize what they're creating. You know? It's like the Frankenstein monster. Huh? Yeah. It's like the Frankenstein monster, right? You create it, and then you can't control it. So, these are all things that, you know, we have to be concerned about and be watchful. One day, in the not-too-distant future, you're going to go to a bank on a Monday morning and see a sign up. The bank is temporarily closed, you know, for whatever reason, by federal statute. So, here's a warning to you. Have a few $100, and certainly you folks, a few $1,000, stashed away someplace, hidden in your house, you know? So when that day comes, when you're at the bank, you can't get into the bank, you know, you'll at least have some reserves. I mean, this is all part of being watchful, you know, thinking ahead of what could happen, you know, and what is God telling us? Go ahead.
Yeah, see, they don't encourage people to carry cash anymore, and this is the ATM machines.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you need cash, just go to the machine.
Sure. Yeah. But what happens when you go to put the button, you know, and it says temporarily out of service, you know, and who knows what temporarily means. So it's up to us to see the signs of the time and prepare for them, right? You know, I get laughed at by some of my church friends that are watching to fly away, you know, and they think that I'm crazy for preparing certain things in case that doesn't happen. You see, so you get ridiculed and mocked, but I think back the time we said Joseph, right? Joseph was called of God to prepare for what was coming. And I think we should too. Right? It's part of being watchful of the times and thinking what could happen. And I pray to God that it doesn't. But I read the scriptures and I listen to the prophets that are called of God. And these things, I believe, are going to happen. And you're better off to be prepared. All right, let me get going here. So in Daniel, there's some interesting verses that I want to talk to you about. Daniel, come on. All right. It says that Daniel chapter. Well, it talks about there's a time coming when Daniel will stand up and where is it?
The book of Daniel is right after Ezekiel.
No, I've got Daniel. It's just that I can't find the verse I want.
Chapter 7.
Okay. I was too far over. Oh, I never got to chapter 7. No.
He shall speak great words against the Most High. Is that the one?
Yeah. But it says that Daniel at that time there'll come a time that has never been since there was a nation. A time of tribulation.
That's.
I can't understand why I can't find it.
That's
I had it marked.
9.
Was it?
The last part of chapter 9.
Okay.
3 weeks?
No. Boy. Well, I'm gonna do the best I can to quote it, I guess. It says that there's coming a time of great tribulation as never was witnessed by the nations of the world. And I am so sorry. I know right where it is in the page.
The time of the end shall the kingdom is out.
Okay. Well, this is taking up way too much time.
This is the very end.
Oh, here we go.
Wow.
It's verse 12. It's chapter 12.
Yes.
I never got there. Okay, chapter 12. I just want to read this one verse. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people, which is us. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. A time of trouble is coming that there never was before. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is written in the book. So God is promising us that his people will be delivered at this time. But in that time, talk about the time of the end that's coming. The next chapter verse 10. Chapter 12, verse 10. At that time, many shall be purified and made white and tried. Okay, remember, this is the last days now he's talking about. But the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand. See, that verse says a lot right there. We're at the end times, and it says that many people, many of God's people, will be purified, made white, and tried. That's where we are right now. God's people are being purified. Right? We talked about the tribulation and the purpose of it. It's to purify us. And made white. In other words, that's where God wants us to be. That's our destiny. And we're being tried. Okay? So, you can't be made white unless you're tried. And purified to be made white. What God wants of us. And then he says that the wicked will never understand. See, remember we were talking about understanding, being watchful, vigilant, having an understanding of the times. The wicked, the unredeemed, those that refuse this gift in Ephesians 2:8, the free gift, they're never going to understand what's going on. But see, we who are watchful, wise as serpents, right, we'll have an understanding of these times. And then if you go to verse 3 on that chapter, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they will turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Okay? So again, because we're wise, watchful, purified, made white, tried, we're going to lead many to righteousness. That's really the call for the end times. That's our purpose in life. Okay? Okay, now go to the previous chapter in verse 11. In verse chapter 11, verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. See, again, it's being wise and watchful. The 300 company, those are the ones that know their God. And it says they will do exploits. Okay? In these last days, God's preparing a people. The flock of the better resurrection that's going to be able to do exploits, that's going to be able to break down the gates of Satan. And then in the next verse it says, and they who understand among the people shall instruct many. So again, that's our purpose, to shine and bring many to righteousness and instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and spoil many days. So again, a willingness. The church of the latter, of the better resurrection, has a willingness to fall by the sword, by the flame, by captivity. They're not afraid. They're not
exactly what was happening 500 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That church is not afraid. And it hasn't changed. Right now, I've watched the films. You may want to watch it if you haven't. It's called The Voice of the Martyrs. Go on the internet and look that up. It shows, it's CDs of the portrayal of the church in Romania, the little home fellowship in Romania. And, they were praying, this was Ceausescu praying, where he was torturing and killing the people, the little home fellowships that were worshiping God and remain. And it showed, like, they'd have somebody come in that wasn't part of the group, and they never knew if he was there in earnest or he was a spy that came to find out who they were and turn them over, you know. And that's the way it's going to be. The days we're coming to, where, you know, it's going to be little home fellowships that are going to meet in secret, and people, you know, you're going to get strangers coming in, and you're not going to know what their purpose is. But you pray for them, and you hope that, you know, they've come to the light. But if not, then these people were willing to surrender, give up their life for the Lord, seeking a better resurrection. Okay. So let me, running out of time, I was gonna read you some things that the prophets have said. How much time do we have?
You have plenty of time.
Plenty of time, okay. Because it's important that we heed God's prophets. Again, that's part of us being watchful and being wise. There was a prophet that got a whole bunch of things that he said in 1973. He wrote a book. In fact, he wrote a lot of books. And we consider him, we always have, to be a true prophet of God. This is from the book The Vision and Beyond by Dave Wilkerson. And I want to read things that that he said in this book in 1973. Page 19. Not even gold will provide security. Believe it or not, they will not hold value. Gold hoarders are going to get hurt badly. I don't have gold. I have some silver. So he didn't say nothing about that. Somebody look up Ezekiel 7:19. Oh, that's probably where they will throw their gold and silver in the streets. Ezekiel, what am I doing? That's before Daniel. Ezekiel 7:19. Says, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is a stumbling block of their iniquity. Page 20. A new world monetary system. Suicide by overdose. A backlash against the environmentalist and ecologist. So that's kind of true, right? The Paris Accord, we pulled out of that. The coal mines are going again, thanks to Trump. Regulations and the cutting of the forest. People are starting to realize these are not good ideas to shut down your coal mines and clear cut the forest out in California. So there is kind of a backlash there. Page 22, more riots and demonstrations. Riots of the 60s, but these riots are not over. Another wave is coming. This time I see Puerto Rico, Cubans, Mexicans deeply involved. That's interesting. Verse in page 23. Although economic actions in Europe will trigger the coming recession, the United States will be blamed by most nations for what happens. France will become one of the most vicious anti-American nations in the world. I mean, you can see that. France doesn't really like us. Politicians and businessmen in Europe and Japan will blame Russia and the American bankers. I can see that happening. Page 27. The world about to witness the beginning of great sorrows brought about by history's most dramatic weather changes, drastic weather changes, earthquake, floods, terrible calamities, far greater yet witnessed. Verse, page 28. Earthquakes coming to the United States. U.S. to experience not too distant future the most drastic earthquakes in its history. One day soon, nations will be reeling under the impact of the biggest news story of modern times. It will be the coverage of the greatest, most disastrous earthquake in history. Without a doubt, it will become one of the most reported earthquakes ever. TV nations will suspend all programming to cover, to have all-day coverage. Another earthquake, possibly in Japan, may precede the one I am seeing here. You know, this, the earthquake that a lot of people are looking at is the fault right along the middle of our nation that will divide the nation. And Mississippi River will be flowing. Yeah. Along with what's happening out in the West Coast.
Starts with an M.
Yeah. And.
Starts with an M.
Madrid fault, yeah. And don't think that we're exempt from it either in New York State.
By the way, that is prophesied in Revelation too, about the massive earthquake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be spiritual too.
Yeah. I am not at all this earthquake will take place in California. I believe it will be many times severe, more severe than the San Francisco quake. Page 28, not the slightest doubt in my mind about the massive earthquake in our continent. I am not at all convinced it will take... Okay, I already said that. The new Madrid fault. I believe we are going to see later a major earthquake in the islands. The Aleutian Islands.
Aleutian
Islands, which will result in a number of smaller earthquakes along the west coast of the United States. News about earthquakes will be uppermost in forthcoming years. News about government scandals, wars, economic problems will be completely overshadowed by earthquakes. Within minutes after the earthquake hits, whole countries will know it and millions will be stunned and shocked. Thousands affected will with much loss of life and millions in damage. Minor earthquakes will be recorded almost daily to our world. Earthquakes will become the number one cause of fear. This is one kind of judgment that cannot be explained by scientists. It is supernatural intervention into affairs of men, an act of God's causing havoc and judgment, calling men to repentance. It can strike at any time and no way to deter it. Men will just have to stand back in awe and terror as the power of God is demonstrated in earthquakes. Famine is coming to the world in our generation, and millions will die by starvation. And that's in Revelation 6. Page 29. Catastrophic years lie just ahead with drought, floods, and other weather disasters wiping out great amounts of world food production. And that's being prophesied today by a lot of God's prophets. The world in our generation will face frightening prospects of population growing faster than food supply. We already have too far back to catch up. World has faced famines and drought before, but this time is different. In the past, world recovered when good harvest came in. Now we can't recover. Already had too many bad years and worse yet to come. Because of overpopulation, we'll never catch up. This is the last day world famine in the book of Joel. Floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, hailstones will occur more frequently. More than one-third of U.S. will be destroyed. Hear that? One-third of the U.S. will be destroyed. A disaster area in the next few years. I heard yesterday a prophet of God saying that God's got baseball, so it's going to be hailstone storms the size of baseballs coming down. Page 31. Men will be talking about nature being out of control. It will baffle scientists. Earth eruptions, blood, and moon haze, strange signs in the heavens, such as cosmic storms and other events never before seen that cause people to wonder. We've been having that, right, the last few years. The haze hanging in the cosmos will turn the moon red and cause periods of darkness over the earth, almost as though the sun refused to shine. Nature will go wild. Nature will unleash its fury over next decades. Almost every day, mankind will witness nature's wrath somewhere in the world. Floods, hurricane, tornadoes will destroy crops, animals, wildlife, driving prices higher, causing some experts to suggest nature is out of balance. Weather will become difficult to forecast. Sudden storms appear without warning. You know, isn't it strange, this past couple of weeks, we got 1 or 2 days of real warm weather, and then 1 or 2 days, all of a sudden it's cold, and then again, it's back warm again. I mean, you don't normally see that kind of stuff. It's just me being maybe too watchful. I don't know. States gripped by record cold and northern areas experience record heat waves. We've seen that, right? It was colder yesterday. It was colder in Houston, Texas, than it was here. I mean, who would have thought? Now, persecution through a media struggle. Persecutions and harassment coming. Christ-centered TV and radio will become the target of satanic forces determined to force them off the airwaves. Work while it is yet day. Look for Hollywood to step up its attacks, while at the same time occult and witchcraft will be glorified and sensationalized. A coming sophisticated attempt by intellectuals to preach out in films against all revival types, Christians. A new breed of movie makers obsessed against any and all religious films that inhibit man's desires, satanic desires. TV shows will become bolder and bolder at provoking fun at Christians and Christ. Comic writers will put down sacred traditions. Use four-letter words, anything will go. Wow, that's happened. Okay? Four-letter words. Remember Kirsten Philibrand, what a nice, sweet lady she was. Family oriented with the kids. And then she starts with using four-letter words right out in public, in her speeches, and everybody applauding, thinking it's great. Damn. Programs will become blasphemous. Subjects once considered sacred will be undermined by comics and networks. a hate Christ movement, Jesus revulsion movement, is springing up. Youth devil worshipers and occultists are becoming a nucleus of hate Christ type of movement. Chief aim is to harden Jesus' people, is to harass Jesus' people and refute claims of Christ. My message is prepare for persecution and prepare to face hate Christ clubs in schools. There will be Satan evangelism, mostly young people preaching the power of Satan and making converts. Ouija boards, tarot cards, horoscopes, occult books will be passed around to youths. We will pay a price for what we believe. Can't escape trials coming. Your endurance will be tried. Okay? It's come upon us. Okay. There's more, but judgment begins at the coast. The fall of New York City. Bankruptcy will happen. They already talked about the coming recession. Lightning-like events will bring on bankruptcy. America's queen city will declare bankruptcy. The fall of New York City will be first tolling of the bells of divine judgment. 6 weeks prior to 9/11, Holy Spirit forewarned a calamity was coming. We canceled all conferences. This was Dave Wilkerson and his church. 6 weeks before, they canceled all conferences and conventions that were scheduled. Instead, called congregation to prayer, so moved that the tragedy was coming. One network declared, "Think of it. Our two symbols of power and prosperity have been smitten in 1 hour." Okay. I'm going to just read one more thing. It's called "A Great Financial Hurricane is About to Hit America Next Month." Did you give me this?
Maybe.
I can't understand where it came from.
Let me see it.
Okay.
Maybe I can. Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, this is real short. Let me just read this. "A great financial hurricane is about to hit America next month." Okay? And I don't know, this was given to me a while back. Signs world economy is on the edge. Number one, Brazil is in recession. Venezuela is a socialist catastrophe. Mobs, violence. Okay, that's true. The financial storm could damage a big part of your life savings this year. But this isn't a currency collapse or stock market crash. It is vastly bigger threat with the raw potential to strike 401ks, IRAs, pensions, and the Social Security system in a more severe way than 2008. I was going to tell you that. I forgot about that. Okay. And it won't just impact millions of Americans' financial future, as you'll see. It could alter the fabric of our society forever. Your Social Security benefits are under threat. Congress and the President just took away as much as $60,000 in lifetime benefits from over 32 million Americans. That was Obama. Okay. As of April 30th, that money is no longer available. Think about this. This is going back a couple years ago. Some seniors lost out on as much as two checks a year, each year, for the rest of their lives. And that's not all. The U.S. government is planning to make even more cuts in Social Security after the 2016 election. It's part of the plan to systematically whittle down Social Security. After the 2016 election. This is what was coming.
But God interceded.
Because this is where we were headed. It already had started. Think about it. Corruption in the highest offices, the CIA, the Department of Justice, so-called, Department of Justice, FBI, the military. That was the only thing that was left. And that was already being dismantled, and the patriotic generals were being either retired or fired or told to, you know, to, they were no longer needed, to resign. And certain military people that didn't have the interest of the United States at heart were being put in their place.
Wow.
It was all coming to pass. All you had to do was take control of the military. See, think about Venezuela. The only thing that Maduro has going for him is he controls the military. The people hate him. They want him out. You know, everybody wants him out, but he's got the military. You control the military, you can control the nation. And this was what was going to happen. But God interceded. Remember, there are times in history that God has to step in. They're so drastic. Think about it. Think about 1940s.
Yes.
God had to step in.
That's right.
Germany was about to get the nuclear bomb, but God stepped in. You know, what happened with Eisenhower invading the Normandy invasion.
Yes.
God had to step in with the weather. Mm-hmm. Think about back in the 1770. Right? The American Revolution. How in the world, I always scratch my head thinking, how in the world does a bunch of ragtime army with little or no weapons defeat the biggest military power in history? How could that happen? It couldn't. But God intervened. See, this is the kind of God we have. Lord, thank you that you've prepared us.
Yes.
And God, that we be watchful and courageous. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people. And keep us safe for the days ahead.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.